So traditional selling skills or traditional selling approach will not work, where you just go in front of the customer and explain about your product and hope that you will be able to win the deal. It's not going to happen. If the branding is not there, then you would have to work a lot harder to convince customers. Within 4 years, I could grow to the level of manager.
If you have an idea which you strongly believe in and have the spirit of entrepreneurship thriving inside you, then trust me, this is the show totally for you. From the family of Reed Skyline, I welcome you to the 9th episode of The Business Boss. It is said that the incredible journey of a person doesn't start just at the moment, but it must be backed by a lot of lessons and experience that would have led to the moment. And yes, today we are going to listen to one such incredible journey of a person who started his career as a courier boy and transformed himself into a successful sales strategist. And he's also going to talk a lot about the marketing in B2B segment. So why to wait for? Let us hear it from the man of the day himself, Mr. Amit Sharma, the authoritative selling expert and the CEO of Disha Consultants. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, sir. I'm also excited to hear a lot of your ideas and insights today.
Mm-hmm. Surely, I look forward to that.
Yes, sir. So we will directly go into the questions now. So as it is very interesting to listen to, so tell us about your journey from being a courier person to a sales strategist in the B2B segment.
Hi everyone, I'm Amit and I'm an authoritative selling expert. I started my career as a courier boy. It was back in 2004. That was my first job. I was out of college and I was looking for a better opportunity. But being from a small town, there were not much opportunities for me to work on. So being a stopgap, I joined as a courier boy in DTDC, I remember. And well, I believe that is the most that is the turning point of my journey, because that's where I got in touch with sales, and I realized how crucial sales is for any organization, whether it is a big corporate, whether it is a small business, or whether it is a startup. So everybody has a challenge today with sales. Back then also, and even today, it is true. So that got me interested into sales. Then I later on joined a big organization as sales executive, HP, in 2004. After working for 8 months as courier boy, I joined HP as a frontline sales executive. And from there, fingers crossed, journey has been good. I was within next 6 years, I was the working partner for the company. I was promoted as the director, heading four different product lines with PLN responsibility. And later on, in 2015 or 16, I started my own company, Disha Consultants. And it has been 3-4 years, and that has been recognized among top 25 consulting and training companies in India by Great Companies Magazine, Consultant Review Magazine, and by the CEO Story Magazine.
Sir, 1 minute, it just showed that the internet connection is unstable. Is it okay for you, sir? The internet is fine?
It's working perfectly fine.
Okay, it just showed the internet connection is unstable. It is fine for me also. I don't know why it is showed. Sorry, sir?
Would you like me to start over?
No, sir. We will edit that part, because after you finished only, I asked you that. So I'll continue with what you finished. I'll continue, sir.
Sure.
Okay, so it's very inspiring.
Give me a moment.
Sure, sir.
0, 6, 7, 8, 4, U. All right, can you
so the connection is not clear, I guess. I can't hear anything from you. Sir? Sir, was there any problem? The whole thing was stuck.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Are we connected? But... yeah, I just switched over to the another connection.
Okay.
Just to make sure it's the problem is not from my side.
Thank you so much, sir. Then shall we just have start over from the first question then? Because
yeah,
it showed in the screen that the internet connection is unstable. So that's why.
Is it still showing that?
No. It is not showing. I don't know why it is showing to me and it is not showing for you. Okay, we will just start over from that. I'll start with the first question.
Just one more thing. You have to control your movements. Because video is being, it's shaky and getting blurred. Yes, so try to control your movements.
Sure. I will do that. So starting over. So tell us about your journey, like how you transformed from a courier boy to a sales strategist in B2B segment.
All right, so it was in 2004 when I was straight out of college. I was looking for a job opportunity. Mm-hmm. Coming from a normal, humble background and from a small city in Haryana, there were not much opportunities there back that time. So mm-hmm. I had to join as a courier boy. Mm-hmm. And that was the turning point where I got in touch with sales. I realized sales is a much bigger challenge for all kind of organizations, like bigger, smaller, or even startups. Mm-hmm. So I got interested in sales and I started looking for opportunities in sales. That's when I came across an opportunity with Hewlett Packard as a frontline sales executive, selling printers, projectors, and hardwares for them. Oh. And when I joined, it was a very good journey. Within 4 years, I could grow to the level of manager. Then I came out and joined another small medium business, Wemby Technologies, and I joined there again as a sales manager. And within 4 years, I went on to become the director for the company, heading wow. their four different product line with global sales and business development. And then in 2015, I came out and started my own company, Disha Consultant. That time it was a 1-person company. I was the only one to start out.
Oh.
And as we stand, it's one of the top consulting and training companies in India.
That's great, sir. So when you said I could actually remember that when we don't have an opportunity, we have to create one. You are an example for that, I guess. And talking about the authoritative selling, since I heard of you, I could actually think only of authoritative selling since you are an expert in it. So it will be great if you could explain the listeners about it.
Sure. So when I was in sales, I had multiple challenges to face. It was not an easy journey. Mm-hmm. And it's for everyone, whether you're a sales professional, whether you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get appointments from customers or meeting from the customers. Mm-hmm. Most of the times I observed the customers try to ignore you. They try to not give appointments, mentioning excuses like we are busy mm-hmm. or we already are using software or we are already using a product for that. These mm-hmm. are some of the major challenges that I used to face. Mm-hmm. And it was for everyone. Mm-hmm. I tried many courses and like relationship selling, solution selling, spin selling. There are multiple methodologies I came across, hoping that it would improve my sales and help me grab more mm-hmm. appointments with the customers. Mm-hmm. But as it turned out, it did not. Because they are based on psychology, like, for example, relationship selling. So unless you build a relationship with the customer, you won't be able to sell to him. That's what it says and it teaches you. But then when you're not getting appointment with the customer, how can you do that? So how can you build relationships, right? And why should he listen to you? Why should he give you time? Why should he take your advice? These are some of the big challenges that I faced. So that's when I came across authoritative selling. This is again based on a common psychology that we listen to and we pay attention to. We give our time to people. We believe our authority and we take their advice seriously. It's, it's commonly happens in with everyone in our house also, like be it your dad or be it your uncle. When you have a problem, you go to someone authority who can help you with it, whom you trust and you trust in the advice of that person. So this is the psychology that I wanted to bring into sales because that could solve a lot of problems for me. So once I brought it in as a sales techniques, it really did wonders for me. People were not only giving appointments to me, they were taking my advice seriously, even though I was like in my 20s that time. And I was meeting CEOs of some Fortune 500 companies, some very big corporate CEOs, and they were like 40 plus, 50 plus, yet with authoritative, the help of authoritative selling, being a young chap, they gave me appointment, they gave me order, they gave trusted my advice, they taken my advice. And from then on, I have been able to grow in the sales career by bringing more sales for the company. When I started my company, again, it was a startup, but we were doing businesses with companies like Accenture, GMR, L&T. And this was all possible because of authoritative selling.
That's really interesting, sir. But honestly, as a HR aspirant, all I could think of is the application of HR and the psychology in the marketing. So moving on, talking about B2B segment, there is always this question in the people's mind. Is branding really required for the businesses in B2B?
Okay. Well, branding is of utmost importance. And let me tell you why. Because branding brings the trust factor. Unless you trust a company or a brand, you won't buy from it. It's as simple as now, branding help you establish that trust quickly. Like, for example, if you have to buy a car, you won't doubt Audi or BMW because they have their brand in place. If you have to buy groceries or anything, you will always look at reaching out to big corporates and buying the products from them. It's because of that reason that branding builds trust. Otherwise, if the branding is not there, then you would have to work a lot harder to convince customers. So do you want to convince customers or you want your brand to convince the customers is the question. If brand convinces the customers, it's much easy, much quicker, sales cycle is much shorter and automatically you can sell a lot more products. But if branding is not there, it's not gonna work out. It will be a hard job, uphill task for you. And especially in services sector, let's say you're a consultant, a financial consultant and all, if you don't have a brand, why would people trust you? Services is even difficult to sell because you don't have any product to showcase. Even for startups aiming for say, you know, selling it to other businesses or big corporates, if they don't have a brand in place, then it will be an uphill task for them. So it's always long-term strategies to build a brand.
As you rightly pointed out, branding is essential for any business, no matter which segment they are into. So talking about B2B again, I read an article where it said that 65 to 70% of the deals get closed up even before the sales representatives knock the door of the business vendors. How does it work, sir?
All right. Again, multiple factors are in at work here. One is online. Customer has become more aware. So before they are reaching out to brand or contacting the sales team, they are researching about you. They are researching about you. They are researching about your competition. They are researching about the pricing and everything else. And before they reach you, they have already made up the mind. They already have two vendors in their head. In their, they have already decided on it. So that's what it means. Now, say what it means for salespeople and entrepreneurs. That convincing the customer and changing their mindset, it has become even more tougher. So traditional selling skills or traditional selling approach will not work, where you just go in front of the customer and explain about your product and hope that you will be able to win the deal. It's not going to happen, because he already knows a lot from your website about your product and about your services. So what you need to be talking about is how you can turn around his business, how you can solve his business, how you can solve his problem. When you go along those lines, then people will be more attentive, they'll pay more attention, they will take your advice, you can see the benefit coming through, and that's how it has to work out. Otherwise, our customer has already decided 70% of the time, and if you don't work on showcasing how you can turn around his business, then you almost lost the deal.
So as you rightly pointed out, it is important that we need to make sure that we provide the right solution for the problem that they are looking into. So I had an interesting question to ask you before the interview. That is, how important is it to keep track of your competitors in the B2B market when it is compared to be in the B2C? Because most of the tenders, if we look at most of the deals, they get closed using the tenders.
So it again goes back and linked to the same question you have asked before. 70% of the decisions are already made before customers reach out to salespeople. So from the question, we can deduce that customer has already researched on you. Customer has already researched on your competition also, and they know what is the difference between the two. Now, unless you know your question or competition, and if you don't know your competition, you'll not go in front of the customer and talk about how you can turn your business, right? How you can turn their business unless you talk about competition. And if you have nothing to, you don't know anything about competition, you'll not be able to bring value to the discussion. You'll not be able to bring value for the customer's business, right? That is why it is very important to know about your competition, what they are offering, what they are not offering, how do you both differ in terms of positioning, in terms of branding, in terms of key things like support, pricing, and all that stuff. You have to have a clear idea. And then you will be able to showcase customer how you are better than others in the market. That's what you should be talking about. That's what customer wants to hear. And this is only possible if you know about your competition very well.
I guess we need to have a 360 degree view when we are in the business. So talking about the digital marketing efforts of the B2B businesses, I guess they are quite minimal in their efforts, where they would have just started their website or have registered in the trade platforms. But other than that, given this COVID scenario, almost we are all pushed to go digital. So could you please give some advice to the B2B businesses, especially how they could slowly integrate their process with digital and do this digital branding thing?
Absolutely. One thing I want to mention before I start discussing this, majority of the startup or B2B businesses I come across, they are relying on offline marketing most of the time, even before the COVID situation, which is not a right strategy. And considering the COVID situation, digital has become an integral part. Otherwise, businesses will not survive. Now, going after digital, what majority of the people is looking for, they ignore some of the very important strategies like SEO. Because
search engine optimization.
It takes your result, your search engine optimization, as it is called. Basically, getting listed in Google and getting your website on top, first page, on top positions for all the important keywords that people are searching for. But it is very crucial, because majority of your customers who are ready to buy, they are searching for you on Google. So if you are somehow not on Google and not on the top page, you're missing out on that huge traffic that Google can give you, number one. And second, the kind of traffic where people are ready to buy and searching for you. Nobody goes Facebook and search where I can find grocery stores or where I can find these kind of lights that I'm looking for. Everybody goes to Google. These are already ready to purchase customers. All you need to do is be in front of them, and you stand like 80% of the chance getting them. But you need to work on it and get online. SEO you need to build and get on top of the Google. That's one. And then you have to start advertising also. You have to, people, businesses have to be aggressive in terms of their approach towards getting customer and inquiries. Unless you spend in advertising through Google or through Facebook or similar platforms like LinkedIn, then you are not creating an incoming reach, incoming stream of inquiries and business for yourself. You're missing out on that. So it's highly critical that you invest in digital marketing, you invest in advertising online, and you invest in SEO for your long-term strategy and create a diversification, multiple streams of inquiries.
That's very useful, sir. So in B2B business, something very important is negotiation, because that is the point we will be converting the potential lead into the customer. But given this COVID scenario, I guess even that is going to happen virtual. So give the listeners a few strategies on how they could crack the deal during this negotiation going online.
Okay. So, well, there is a change, a lot of change between face-to-face negotiations and online negotiations. So face-to-face brings a personal touch, and then you have better opportunities at your hand to explain yourself, express yourself, and take questions and doubts. It's altogether a different ballgame. But now it is shifting online. You have to rely a lot on preparations, how well you are prepared to take up those questions. Because negotiations are not going to be extensive. It's going to be short. It's going to be online. And it's going to be pretty direct, point to point. Those are the things that's going to change. And it all totally depends upon how well you are prepared for all kind of objections, all kind of you know, doubts that customers will be having about your solution, about your proposal. So thorough preparation would be required. That's very, very important.
So what you said about negotiation is very, very interesting. I would like to ask you this question about sales. Since you are a trainer and training many salespeople in the corporate world, given this COVID scenario, salespeople are the ones who are actually feeling the pressure. Generally, for sales, they need a lot of patience. But here now, when few products are really picking up and the few products are going down, the force and the pressure is all on the salespeople. So tell them a few advice or some advice on how they could get back onto their field. Onto their feet with a full energy.
Okay. Well, you see, after the COVID situation, it's how the business environment will be. In some sectors, some industries, the demand will go down. They're not ready to invest into new solutions. But then in other sectors, it's going to pick up also. So some sectors which are growing very well, some sectors who are looking to invest more into new solutions. So salespeople, instead of taking that pressure, all they need to do is just look out for those industries, those sectors, those particular businesses where you see yourself a demand is going to grow, and focus on that. It's as simple as that. So you don't need to be stressed about it. In one place, things goes down, then in another place, it's going to pick up also. That's how business environment works. And majority of the people, now they are going to go online and start their business. They want to come out of this lockdown. They want to start growing. So demand is going to pick up. You just need to have an eye and look out for those industries, those sectors, those type of businesses where you will see the demand is going to pick up, and that focus there.
I think it's all
and
about...
I would like to add to it. Second advice would be those salespeople, those entrepreneurs who are more focused on offline, now try to look for online opportunities. Something like, you know, telemarketing, cold calling, like LinkedIn marketing, social media marketing, and even digital marketing for demand generation. So LinkedIn social media marketing, LinkedIn is a very good platform for B2B. Which generate those inquiries, they should focus on that. And then content marketing, thought leadership, they should upgrade their skills by creating some videos about the product and floating it on LinkedIn or through email marketing. These are some two very best channels that should they should look at tapping into their potential.
From whatever you have said, I could infer that you are such an optimistic person, as bringing, you know, the positive thoughts. So I would like to ask you this question. What has been your source of resilience, which has kept you being in the field, irrespective of the challenges that you face?
All right. That's a very good question. Thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. Resilience is required when you see your shortcomings as failures. Mm. I don't see my shortcomings as failures. I see learnings. Like when I was a salespeople, when I was into sales, I used to try everything new that I learned, which most of the people don't do. So for example, most of the people, salespeople don't look at generating leads through Facebook ads. Mm. But I used to do. I used to put my money from my pocket as a salespeople when I was earning hardly 20, 25, 30,000. Mm-hmm. But I used to do that. I failed multiple times, but then I used to take it as a learning, and over a period of time, I improved. So I don't see my shortcoming as failures. I see them as a learning platform, which is required. First step is always the hardest one, mm-hmm. But you need to take it. So that is how I see. That is how people say I have built resilience. But I keep telling them that I see everything as a learning, and I just continue to do that. Fail, 10 times, 20 times. Eventually, you will get there.
That's really great, sir. Since the beginning, you have been sharing a lot of insights and the ideas that you follow from your life. I hope you have also enjoyed talking with me today. And thank you for being on the show, sir.
Thank you very much again for inviting me. It's really wonderful show, and it was nice chatting with you. Some really nice questions from you that I see that would be helping the entrepreneur community.
Yes,
thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. And my dear audience, from whatever Amit Sharma has said, I'm sure that you would have understood, when life gives you lemons, you have to make a lemonade out of it. With that note, I'll meet you in another episode with another interesting personality. Till then, keep learning and keep growing altogether. Thank you.
Reach Skyline. Embrace digital.